Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be moving to a number of different scriptures today, so get ready if you could just turn to the book of Zephaniah. I'll give you just a little extra time to find Zephaniah. It is page 720 in my Bible. Book of Zephaniah in the Old Testament, and it is sandwiched right between Habakkuk and Haggai. If you find one of those, just either head right or left. It'll be right there. Just a short book, and we're going to then move around. We're going to go to Isaiah in a little bit. But today I want to just preach a message entitled, Draw Near to God. Draw Near to God. And we're going to start this message today probably on a little bit of a down note with some of the passages that I'm going to read to you, because we have to be aware of what drawing near to God first is not. And then we're going to find out what it is and the benefits of drawing near to God. And I know that in life we have, we have all kinds of examples of how we must draw near to either individuals or situations to become more intimately aware of who they are, of what that situation is. Let's take a situation and just say your job, for instance. You don't do your job. Some people do their jobs from home. They are fortunate to be able to do that. But I don't know if there's anybody in the building who has that opportunity. Mostly, we go, if you have a job, you go to a particular place. You don't phone in every day and just kind of say, okay, I'm thinking of coming to work today, and this is just, my heart is there, you know, my desire is there, and your boss says, oh, great, that's good enough. Why don't you just stay home? You don't do that with any employees, do you, Julian? Not a one, right? To draw near, they got to really do the job well, they got to show up. You've got to show up to your job. If you are in a relationship with somebody, you don't get to know that person, whether it's a friend or whether it's your husband or wife or somebody that you are interested in to get to know as a friend. You don't just sort of somehow look across the room at them and don't speak. You get closer to them. You have conversation with them. You are there with them. And then it could be that as the relationship develops a little bit, you seek to do things to protect that individual, to watch out for them, to make sure that they're taken care of, to make sure that you as a good friend are with them through the good times, through the bad times, no matter what the situation is. You draw near to them. You don't just from a distance kind of nod and they know, you know, that's cool with me. No, you have to get close to them. Today, this is not about God drawing near to you. We're going to find out how he does that in a little while as we go into the New Testament. But this is about us. You see, God has already initiated drawing near to you. He created you. He created the world that we live in. He created mankind. And as he created us, the Bible says that he created us in his image and after his likeness. God initiated contact with Adam and Eve. The Bible lets us know that even after they sinned, it was not man who somehow sought God out. It was God who sought man out. In fact, there is a passage of scripture in the Old Testament that Isaiah had said and speaks about how it is that there's no one that seeks after God. Paul repeats it now in the book of Romans as well, that there is no one who seeks after God. No one who goes after him. It's God who has initiated the contact with mankind. It is God who is drawn near to us. The question is, what will we do with what he has done? Isn't that always the question? What are you going to do with what Jesus did on the cross? What are you going to do with the fact that there was a resurrection? What do you do with what God has done for each and every one of us? Now, in the book of Zephaniah, we're going to see how it is that the people of Jerusalem, what it was that they did in the time of their rebellion. The Bible says this. Woe, chapter 3, verse 1 of the book of Zephaniah, Zephaniah 3 and verse 1. Woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. She obeys no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. Now listen to this. She does not draw near to her God. Her officials are roaring lions. Her rulers are evening wolves who leave nothing for the morning. This is a message for the people of Jerusalem and their rebellion. And when you are following your own way, when you're following your own path, and you have made a decision in your own heart that you are going to live the way that you want to live, the Bible lets us know that it is impossible at that point to draw near to God because you are going your own way. You see, the Bible also says that light and darkness can't dwell together. It's impossible for that to take place. It's impossible for you to serve the world and then somehow grab onto enough of God that you serve Him and are serving Him. The Bible says in verse 2, it says, she obeys no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. There is a blatant idea in which you turn away from God and you say, I'm going to go in my own path, in my own direction. You know what? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I mean, seriously, nobody's going to tell me how it is I'm supposed to live. The people of Jerusalem at that time, they weren't listening to any prophets. They weren't listening to the men of God who were proclaiming the word of the Lord and shouting out what it was that God needed them to do. They refused to listen. The Bible says they didn't trust. See, I think when it really comes down to it, faith is the motivator. And if you don't allow faith to move you toward God, then the lack of trust is going to move you away from God. The Bible says here that they don't trust the Lord. She didn't trust in the Lord. There are times in our lives, I know we wrestle with the idea of faith and unbelief, and there is something kind of working in my heart about that, that there is a time where we believe, we want to believe more, but there is a little bit of unbelief. I'm not talking about that struggle. I am talking about a blatant, God, I'm going to do this my way. And I'm going to tell you, as long as you have that mindset and that attitude, you're going to do it your way, then I'll tell you what, God is going to be hands off. He is not going to get in your way. He's going to let you move in the direction you want to move. But be careful about what way you decide you're going to go in. I said, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir today. Look around you. We're all Christians. I don't know. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of struggles you're dealing with today. And I also know that the enemy is not far behind what it is that we're trying to do and work in the kingdom of God. And so it could be that he's trying to distract you from trusting in the Lord. Be careful of that distraction because it can lead to a point of rebellion where you no longer draw near to God. The people of Jerusalem were in such a condition. They were rebellious. They were doing their own thing. The Bible says it was a city of oppressors. They followed after their own desires, their own heart, rather than saying, God, what do you want us to do? You see, in order to find out what God wants to do, you got to draw near to Him. You got to get close to Him. They wanted nothing to do with that. They didn't want to hear what God had to say because they were worried about the fact that maybe God is going to come down and He's just going to say, you know what? You got to clean this mess up. This is the message that He was trying to get through to them. They were doing things that they shouldn't be doing. They were rebellious and they weren't drawing near to God. So when there is rebellion present, when there is a lack of trust present, it could also be that it is keeping you from the presence of God. Say, well, how do we remedy that? We'll get to that in a bit. And the answer is so simple, you're just going to, you can't, won't believe it. How do we take care of that? What do we do? Let's move on, though. I want you to see also what else drawing near to God is not. Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. And verse 13. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. Now, the Bible says this. The Bible says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. There is, in this passage of Scripture, this encapsulates one of the dangers that we can, one of the dangerous traps that we can fall into. We can think that somehow because we go to church, we can think that somehow because we lift our hands, when it comes time to sing, we open our mouths. When it comes time to, you know, to worship, we open our mouths and we worship and we, you know, we clap our hands. We do all of those things that we have this kind of a concept that as long as everybody around me sees me doing these things, then I'm okay. But the Bible says this about the people of Israel. It says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. But there's one problem. There's an element that is missing. And this element cannot be missing out of our worship and out of our time spent in the presence of God. You say, Pastor, we come into the house of God and we love to worship, we love to sing, we love to praise. It would be great if we could just do that the whole time. But you know what? There are times where we come in and we're just going through the motions because you know what? Our hearts are not with the Lord in that moment. The Bible says here that their hearts are far from me. I want to challenge and encourage every one of you that when you come into the presence of God, that it's more than just clapping your hands, that it becomes more than just sort of somehow going through the motions so your brother or sister around you doesn't think things are amiss and are bad, that it's not that you're trying to give a good impression to everybody else. Because brothers and sisters, there is something that God sees here that nobody else sees, and He revealed it about the people of Israel. He sees what's going on in the heart. He knows what's happening on the inside. Drawing near to God is not all of these outward expressions of what we have come to know. In fact, He says, listen, your worship of me is nothing more than a bunch of rules made up by men. He's saying that it's not even going through the law and what the law teaches. You're now branching out, doing your own, you know, you're following this system, but you've improved on the system, if such a thing could happen. That was what Jesus spoke about. He quoted this verse of Scripture right in front of the Pharisees who had, they had made up all kinds of man-made laws, adding it to the law itself. We know the Bible says that there is nothing having to do with the law that could ever make anybody righteous or anybody holy. It could never bring men to a place of salvation. And He says, not only is it you're trying to fulfill the law, but now you're trying to fulfill all these man-made rules. And you think that because you do that, it's all okay. Brothers and sisters, drawing near to God has more to do with the outward. The Bible lets us know and it tells us, reveals this, that God does not look on the outward appearance, but He looks at the heart. He knows what condition you walked into this building today in. He knows what was going on in your life as you walked through those doors. He knew where your heart was at. He knew that if you walked through those doors today, and maybe deep down on the inside, you've got something going on, and maybe it's this frustration or this bitterness, or maybe there's something that you're battling in your flesh, but at the same time, you want, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. You know, we've got all the jargon down. We've got all the Christianese that we can speak, and we make people think that everything is okay. This verse of Scripture reveals that God knows exactly what's going on the inside of you. Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says this. It says, shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Verse 2, for day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of God, of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near to them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet, he says, on the day of your fasting, here's something that is happening. You do as you please and exploit all your workers. He's saying this. He's saying you have all of the outward appearance of individuals who want to get close to me, who want to come near to me. You go to church, you fast. He's talking about, they say, but we're fasting, Lord. We're so spiritual, we do that. He says, we come near to you, we humble ourselves. But no, he says, but there's a problem here. The problem is what's going on in secret. The problem is how you're living outside of those things, how you're doing outside of those things. And a lot of times we think that we come to church, that's drawing near to God. Who cares? Brothers and sisters, we are to live this thing day after day after day. We are to follow what Jesus has commanded, what the Word has commanded day after day. It's not about you and I just somehow going through the motions. And they, brothers and sisters, were trying to fool God. They even questioned God. But God, we're doing all these spiritual things. How come you're not blessing me? How come you're not noticing this? He said, but there are other things that are going on. You're doing your own thing. You're following your own way. You're going your own path. You're not coming near to me. You look like you are. You act like you are. But there's a problem here. Again, it comes down to the heart and how we live. Brothers and sisters, what's going on in the inside of you right now is more important than what kind of impression you make on your brothers and sisters right now. I hope I'm speaking to somebody. I know that silence just is deadening. But I hope today that we somehow can get into our hearts and our minds that it's not just about, you know, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, praise God. You know, I'll get there when I get there, but, you know, praise God. No, it has nothing to do about with that. It has to do with your heart. The condition of your heart when you come through these doors means more than how loudly you can praise during the time that you're here. Is it possible to really praise God when you're not following the Lord? Oh, absolutely. Trust me. As a teenager, I knew how to do it. I knew how to fool my parents. Well, to a point. I thought I did. I thought I knew how to fool. They knew better. But, you know, we have this impression that somehow, and the people of Israel, they thought they were actually fooling God. And God says, no, I see what's going on. I see what's happening in your heart, in your mind. You say, but Pastor, so what do we do with all of this? How is it that we're supposed to change things? How do we fix it? How do we change what's happening on the inside? Now, here it is. The people of Israel were having this idea that they could honor God with their lips, their mouths, but their hearts were far from God. They thought that they could fool God. So how do you turn it around? How do you fix this idea that maybe somehow you can fool everybody and you can fool God? Here it is. Draw near to God.
What?
But if we're somehow giving God the impression we're drawing near to him, but we're not really doing that, then how are we supposed to do that? It's the only way I know. You see, repentance is literally turning away from the thing that you're doing that is against God and turning to God. You could call it repentance, but I call it drawing near to God. Let's go now to Hebrews, over in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. And there are other places in the book of Hebrews we could go to, but I want to just go to two verses of Scripture in the same chapter, and I want you to see this. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 21. You'd have to read this whole passage. It's so wonderful and so rich. But the Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, here it is, let us draw near to God, how? We've been talking about the heart, with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. The idea of a sincere heart is that it is a heart that is, you know, is open before God. You can't fool God. You can't fool him into thinking that you are better than you are. You have to draw near to him with a sincere heart that rejects the things that you've been doing your own way. You kind of reject your own path. You turn your back on it and you say, Lord, I'm coming to you with a sincere heart. And the Bible says, in full assurance of faith. Remember how it was earlier we read these verses of Scripture in Zephaniah. The Bible says that she trusts, she does not trust in the Lord. The only way that you and I can come to God is by faith. What does Hebrews 11:6 tell us? Hebrews 11:6 tells us that we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, but we cannot come to him without faith. It is impossible for you to come to God without that trust, without that belief, without that hope, and say, Lord, I am putting my trust and my hope in you. The Bible says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. In other words, Lord, let me put away all the junk. Let me put away all the distractions. Let me put away all the things that are getting in the way of my coming close to you and getting close to you. And let me draw near to you, because it's the only way that we can get close to him. It's the only way that you can get to know him. It's the only way. You know, I'm amazed over the course of my young life up to this point. Conversations that you have with people who don't read the Scripture, they don't know God, they don't draw near to God, and yet somehow they have formed a theology that is absolutely made up. You know, it's like, let me write another mythological kind of book. I mean, the way that they come out with a number of things. The only way you can get to know God, the true God, the one true God, is to get close to him. The only way you can get to know who he is, what he has done, how he is going to act, what he's going to do in your life, is to draw near to God, to get close to him. Now, in the context of what Hebrews was talking about, it actually shows that this is a privilege. And this, brothers and sisters, is something that we have to remember, that in the New Testament age, after Christ died on the cross, shed his blood on Calvary, we now have the privilege of approaching God. And the Bible says that we can approach with confidence. You don't have to worry. You don't have to have a representative go into the presence of God once a year like they had to do in the Old Testament. You don't into that most holy place, but instead you and I can enter in to that most holy place. And it's amazing to me how we have that privilege and we don't take advantage of it. God has to help us to come to a place where we say, Lord, I am going to enter into your presence more and more and more every day, simply because, Lord, you've given me the privilege. Sometimes we think things about God that are so so crazy and so far out there that you know, God is saying, I'm not like that. But you know what? You wouldn't know that because you don't come close to me. You don't get near to me. You wouldn't know these things about me because you're just, you know, you're making things up because you're not getting close enough. The Bible says here, draw near to him. It's the only way that you and I can come to a place where we recognize who God is, how he's going to work in our lives, what kind of difference he's going to make, the power that he has. I know a lot of times we look around in the world that we live in and we think, man, there's so many powerful forces at work, so many things. There's no way. I can't pray. Praying's not going to make a difference. Why bother with that? I read my Bible, but you know what? Well, it might give me a little comfort today, but tomorrow it's going to just make me feel all down in the depths. So why go to the Word? Why do any of those things? And we, you know, why do all of that? Listen, we sang about the blood of Jesus this morning. We sang about the power that there is in the blood of Christ. When I tell you today that God has more power than anything or any situation that you and I go through, you might agree to it here, but what about on Wednesday when you face that problem and you're not sitting in a church service and you're not sitting there, brothers and sisters, the only way you're going to know that God is bigger than your problem and bigger than your situation is to get close enough to him to recognize his greatness and recognize his power, that he will visit you in your situation. Draw near to him so you can know his power. Draw near to him so you can know his wisdom, why it is that sometimes God keeps you from things, why it is that maybe God spares you in certain situations from going through various things. You might not, you look back on it and say, well, that just, I can't believe it happened that way. Well, maybe God was doing something in your life that you don't yet know about, but God will reveal one day. In hindsight, as you look back, you'll say, I know that was the hand of God in his wisdom. You got to draw near to him to trust in that quality, that part of his nature. Draw near to him so that you know him, but do it with a sincere heart. Don't come to him with any kind of junk laying around in there saying, God, I'm going to get close to you, but I got to have this. No, just give it all to the Lord. Let the Lord deal with it. Let the Lord say, Lord, my heart's open. It's not pure. It's not right. But God, I'm coming to you. I need you. I need you more than anything else. You come to him with all your faults and all your sins and all your problems and all your difficulties, but you draw near to him. I got to tell you that the same blood that cleansed you from sin and purified you when you came to the altar is the same blood that's going to help you in that moment to just get rid of the rest of the junk that you've been kind of carrying along with you, and it's going to help you to live a life that is pleasing to him. Draw near to God. Draw near to him. Now, what are the benefits of drawing near to God? One verse of scripture in the book of James. James chapter 4 and verse 8. This says it all. James chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says this, first part of the verse. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Say, Pastor, I thought you already came near to us. He did. But there is a closeness that he wants to have that he cannot have, he will not have, unless you now take a step toward him. Come near to God, and God is going to come near to you. Some of the most wonderful times in my life in the presence of God have not been when I have realized how absolutely perfect I've been. I say that absolutely facetiously. I've never been perfect. But, you know, there are times in our lives where we think, well, you know, I'm living right. I'm living for the Lord. I'm witnessing. I'm doing all these things. Man, I feel really close to God. That doesn't necessarily indicate that you can feel close to God through all of that. But you know, some of the times in my life where I have felt the closest to God is when I have felt like I have just been so rotten on the inside that I have turned to him in such desperation and said, God, you've got to fix me. You got to come near to me. You got to help me. You got to minister to me. And you know what? Those are the times where I have felt his presence as never before. I know there are those who say we shouldn't allow our feelings to get so much involved, that it shouldn't be all emotional. It should all be, you know, we got our theology worked out in our heads. But you know, I think God created us with feelings. Did he not? Or did we somehow just sort of pull our feelings into ourselves? You know, God created man, but man arrived with the feelings. No, God created us with feelings. And I think that he created us with feelings so that those feelings could be touched by him and affected by his presence. I don't get worried when somebody starts to weep in the presence of the Lord. I don't get worried or nervous when somebody starts to get a little bit louder because they're sensing the presence of the Lord. When you come near to God, the Bible says he's going to come near to you. What happens when the divine begins to touch that which is human, when that which is imperfect? What happens when the perfect meets the imperfect? Something happens on the inside of the imperfect that somehow changes us from the inside out. I remember a time a number of years ago when, and strangely, it was a combination of a number of things of drawing near to God. I was reading the Bible, praying, reading a couple of books that I had just sort of fell upon and discovered by a particular author, that just the way he wrote just sort of, it brought it in such human aspect of what it was that God did for us, just brought it down to earth, what Jesus did on the cross. And then I heard a song. Heard a song by, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him, Charles Johnson and the Revivers. Anybody ever heard of Charles? No. I'm the only one. One of these days I'll play the song for you. But it talked about what Jesus did on the cross. And at that time, I knew in my heart I was struggling with a number of things. And I was less than perfect. But I remember for days upon days just going in my car, and I would be driving in the streets of Barrington, Rhode Island, and East Providence and Providence, and just as I was there in New England, and I would be driving down the road, and it was in the summertime, I would just be weeping in my car, and people would drive up next to me. I don't know if they thought I was crazy, if I thought, you know, they thought I had just, you know, lost a loved one or something, but I was weeping, just weeping in the presence of the Lord, and I was listening to the song, and I would get back to my little apartment at the Bible college, and I would just go in, and I would be reading the Bible, just be reading this book, and be praying, and just this sense came over me of what God has done. You see, when you draw near to God, be prepared that God might just somehow affect you in a way that you've never been affected before. It's not that I wasn't a weeper, I'm really not, but you know, in the end, it was the way God was ministering to me at that time. He was touching my feelings. When you come near to God and God comes near to you, brothers and sisters, he will revolutionize your life in a way that you will never have never, ever expected. Come near to me, he said. Come near to God and he will come near to you. There is no greater benefit than that. Say, well, how's God going to bless me? What's he going to do for me? What's he going to give me? You know what he's going to give you? Himself. Because the Bible says he'll come near to you. And when he comes near to you, I got to tell you, he is all that you need. He is all that you need. Say, Pastor, you don't know. I need a whole lot more. Oh, I don't think so. You need God. We all need God. We need to come near to him. And in fact, that's what I want us to do right now before we leave this building. Say, is there anything magical or mystical about the altar? No, there's not. The idea of an altar call was not something, you don't even find it in Scripture. You do find that when, you know, Peter preaches, people came to Christ. How they did that, I don't know. But there is nothing magical or mystical about it. But today, I wonder if just as a sign that we love him, that we want to draw near to him. I wonder if we could just all stand together right now and just make our way to this altar. And just pray, begin to pray and say, Lord, I'm coming to you right now. I need you. I need you in this moment more than anything else in life. I need to draw near to you. I need to come near to you. Your word promises that you will come near to me. You might have come into the building today. You might have had a whole bunch of things going on in your heart, in your mind, in your life. But right now, what is most important of all of us is that we would draw near to the Lord right now. Just begin to pray and lift your voice to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you today. I need your help today. I need your strength today. I need to come near to you, oh God. I need to know you more. I need to know more about your power, about your grace, about your wisdom, about your mercy, about your the fact that you know everything, your omniscience. I need to know more about you, oh God, and how great and mighty and wonderful you are. I need to know that you're present in my moment, in my situation, in my trouble. Let's pray together right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to this altar, Lord, not because there is anything magical about it, but because, Lord, we come right now saying, Lord, we need you. It is a sign today, oh God, that we're drawing near to you. It's a sign today that we want to come near to you so that you will come near to us. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that even today after we leave this building, that there would be a desire within us throughout this week to draw near to you, to get closer and closer to you, oh God. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would have your way. We want to honor you, oh God, not just with our lips, not just with our mouths, but God, we want to honor you with our hearts, oh Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that if our hearts have been far from you, that Lord, we would turn to you and reject the things that have distracted us away from your presence. That Lord God, we would turn away from those things, oh God, and say, Lord, we're going to draw near to you first and foremost. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that we wouldn't walk in the ways of the people of Jerusalem and Israel, Lord, in the time of Zephaniah and the time of Isaiah, Lord, when it was that they did their own thing. They had no desire to get close to you. And Lord, even when it seemed like they did, Lord, you were aware of what was going on in their hearts. God, purify our hearts. Purify us, oh God. May we draw near to you with a sincere heart. May we draw near to you in truth, oh God. May we draw near to you today with that full assurance of faith. Dear God, today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we need you. We need your touch, oh God. We need your power, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray right now for your glory to be upon us. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus for you to have your way in us, Lord. Lord, we love you today. We magnify your name. We worship you, oh God. And Lord God, I pray that we would worship you in spirit and in truth, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, help us, oh God, to love you, to honor you, to give ourselves to you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Dear God, I pray for your people today that you would be with them, that you would strengthen them, oh God, Lord, to do every good work, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Dear God, I pray that, Lord, as they give themselves to drawing near to you, that you would come near to them, touch them in ways that they have never been touched, minister to them in ways that they have never experienced before. God, we're not looking for that strange thing. We're just looking for you, oh God. We want you. And Lord, we want you to be present in our situations, in our lives, oh God. Lord, we need you today. God, we confess we are a needy people. We're not a perfect people, but we are a needy people. Dear God, today we need your touch as never before to help us to live for you, to help us to work for you, to help us to move forward in the plan that you have for us. It is a plan that is perfect, a plan that is right. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, help us today, oh God. Lord, we love you today. Lord, we honor you. We give you praise. We thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, that you love us with an everlasting love. Lord, even when you were calling out to your people, oh God, and they were doing their own thing, Lord, the fact that you were speaking to them shows and proves how much you love them. Lord, how your mercy is so great that you would call out to a rebellious people. And God, I don't think there's anybody in this place today who has been that rebellious. But God, I pray that you would help us to recognize that when we draw near to you, oh God, that you will come near to us. God, may we be purified in our hearts and our minds of everything that stands in the way of that relationship. May it never be said of us, oh God, that we draw near with our lips and our mouths, but our hearts are far from you. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to worship in spirit and in truth in everyday life, in everyday situations. Lord, we love you today. And God, we're going to honor you as a body. We're going to honor you today as a church. We're going to live for you and serve you with everything that is within us, Lord. In the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Before you leave this building today, just turn, greet each other in the joy and the love of the Lord. And remember, draw near to the Lord and he will draw near to you. Amen. God bless you.